All's gone. Still thou art a gentleman, that's all. But a poor one, that's nothing. Where are thy goodly uplands and thy downlands, all sunk into that little pit lechery? Why should a gallant pay but 2 shillings for a meal that nourishes him, and 20 times that for his brothel that consumes him? But where's my estate? In my uncle's power. These old fox-brained and ox-browed uncles always have defences for their avarice and apologies for their practices, and will thus greet our follies. He that doth his youth expose to brothel, drink, and danger, let him that is his nearest kin cheat him before a stranger. And that's my uncle. 'Tis a principle in usury to cheat nephews. I dare not visit London. There I should be too soon visited by that horrible plague, my debts, and by that means I lose a virgin's love, her dowry, and her virtues. Well, how should a man live now that has no living, Why are there not millions of men in the world that rely on their wits to keep up appearances, and am I but one amongst the millions and cannot thrive upon it? Any trick not punishable by law now would come happily to me.
Whitgord! Whitgord, my love!
Flavia, my loathing! Thou hast been the secret consumption of my purse, and thou comest to undo my last means. My wits will leave no virtue in me. Hence, courtesan, round-webbed tarantula, that driest the roses in the cheeks of youth.
I have been true unto your pleasure, and all your lands were never worth the jewel which I prodigally gave you, my virginity.
Forgive. I do thee wrong, Flavia, to make thee sin and then to chide thee for it.
I know I am your loathing now. Farewell.
No, stay.
Oh, I, that have been the secret consumption of your purse, shall I stay now to undo your last means, your wits? Hence, Flavia, away.
I prithee, make me not mad with my own weapons. Stay, be not contrary. Dost love me? Fate has so planned it that all my means I must derive from thee.
From me?
From thee.
Be happy, then. Come, I must help you. Speak, what is?
So. Thou shalt presently take the name of a rich country widow, Widow Medlar, worth 400 a year in woods, in bullocks, in barns, and in rice stacks. Okay. Wheel to London and to my covetous uncle.
Oh, I begin to applaud thee, our states being both desperate. But how for horses? Oh,
that's true. Let me see. Horses now. Stay. I have acquaintance with a mad innkeeper. I have rinsed the horse's gums in Malsack many a time. Put but a good tale into his ear now, and there's horses and man for us, I dare warrant thee.
Well, arm your wits then speedily. There shall want nothing in me, either in behaviour, discourse, or fashion, that shall discredit your intended purpose. Now, I will so artfully disguise my wants that I will be believed.
Well, then all's furnished. I shall go nigh to catch that old fox, my uncle Pecunius Luca. Though he make but few amends for ruining me, yet there's some comfort in it. He cannot otherwise choose, though it be but in hope to cheat me again, but supply any hasty want when I bring to town with me a rich widow and 400 a year in good earth. It so conjures up a kind of usurer's love in him that he will not only desire my presence, which at first shall scarce be granted him, I'll keep off for purpose, but I shall find him so eager to be rewarded, so ready to supply. I know the state of an old man's affection well. If his nephew be poor indeed, why, he leaves it to God to look after him. But if he be once rich, then he'll be the first man that helps him.
Oh, 'tis the way of the world. For in these days an old man's love to his kindred is like his love to his wife. 'Tis done before he comes to it.
I owe thee for that jest, Flavia. Begone. Here's all my wealth. Now prepare thyself. Away! I'll to mine host with all possible haste, and with the best art and most profitable form, pour the sweet story into his ear, which shall have the power to turn all the wax to honey.
All away!
Anna. Oh, the right worshipful seniors of our country, Master Limber and Onesiphorus Horde. I'll be gone.
Who's that, Master Limber?
Oh, the common and profligate Whitgood. Take no note of him, Master Horde.
I wonder how he breathes. Has spent all upon that courtesan, Flavia.
I have heard as much.
Oh, you have heard all truth. His uncle, Pecunius Luca, and my brother, Walcadine Horde, have been these 3 years mortal adversaries. Two old tough spirits. They seldom meet but fight. I think their anger be the very fire that keeps them alive.
What was the quarrel, sir?
Oh, faith, about the profit from cheating a young heir. Ah. Master Horde, my brother, having wasted much time in arranging the business, what did old Luca do? But as his conscience moved him, knowing the young heir, stepped in between them and cheated him himself.
And was this all, sir?
This was Enid, sir. Yet for this, I know no reason why the match might not go forward betwixt Sam Freedom, old Duca's wife's son by the first marriage, and my niece Joyce. Though there be a dissension between the two old men, I see no reason it should make a difference between the two younger. 'Tis as natural for old folks to fall out as for young to fall in. A scholar, Master Moneylove, comes a-wooing to my niece. Well, he's wise, but he's poor. Sam Freedom comes a-wooing to my niece. Well, he's a fool, but he's rich.
Aye, sir.
Is not a rich fool better than a poor philosopher?
One would think so, faith.
Joyce now remains in London with my brother Horde, her second uncle, to learn fashions, practice music. The voice between her lips and the viol between her legs. She'll be fit for a consort very speedily. 1,000 good pounds is her dowry. If she marry, we'll ride up to London and be merry. Eh, Master Limber?
Agreed, agreed.
Innkeeper.
Young Master Whitgood!
I've been searching the town for thee.
Why, what's the news?
What geldings do you own?
Why, man, why?
Mark me what I say. I'll tell thee such a tale that thou shalt trust me spite thyself, furnish me with some money willy-nilly, and ride with me to London.
How? Let me see this trick, and I'll say thou hast more art than a magician.
It is a trick. All a trick of mine, but dost thou joy in my advancement?
Do I love sucking ginger?
Will the report of a so-called widow meddler worth 400 a year, boy, make thee leap and sing and dance again?
Did thou command me now? I am thy spirit.
Now, sir, the case stands thus. We need horses.
Horses?
Good mine host, if thou lovest my happiness, assist me.
Command all my beasts in the house.
Nay, that's not all. Thou knowest I have a wealthy uncle, Pecunius Luca, in the city, somewhat the wealthier by my follies. The report of this so-called fortune will be a means to draw some goodness from the usuring rascal.
I see it, I see it. Wilt thou but trust the managing of thy business with me?
With thee, mine host? Why, believe it sooner with thee than with a covey of counsellors.
If I stand ye not in good stead, why then let me be the deadly enemy of dice, drink, and lechery. Come. Where's this so-called widow?
Nearby at Park End.
I'll be her serving man for once.
We set off together.
Shall we then see our merry days again?
And our merry nights.
Master Luca, do not quarrel. Not in your own house, Master Luca. This is London. People will talk.
Let them talk, Master Lambre.
You, Master Horde, wind down thy anger.
Sir Luca, dost daily affront me, ripping up the old wound of our marriage, which 3 summers would not close up, into which wound the very sight of him drops scalding lead instead of balsam.
Why, Horde. May not I pass in the stead of quietness in me own house? Answer me before witnesses. I got the money, true. Would not any man have done likewise, yes? Will a wise man stand around like a limp lobcock whilst another cheats him of a bargain? No, I answer no in that case.
Oh, sweet, Master Luca.
The part of a friend, Lamprey. Yeah. No, what I say, when I had beaten the bush to the last bird, or, as I may term it, calculated the price to a pound, then he, like a cunning usurer, came in the evening of the bargain and gleaned all my hopes in a minute. Thou never cam'st the right way by it.
Hast thou the conscience to tell me so?
Thou that can cheat thy own nephew Whitgood because he's a writer, waistlift, and brother master, and so forth. What may a stranger expect from thee but well near thy deliserata? Lacerated wounds, as the poet says.
Delacerate dealing. Upbraidst thou me with me nephew? What's this to me?
What art thee? Oh, nothing, nothing. Such is the wolf of thy conscience. But be assured, old Pecunius Luca, if ever fortune so bless me that I may be at leisure to vex thee, or any means so favour me that I may have the opportunity to mad thee, I will pursue it with the flame of hate, that spirit of malice, unrepressed wrath, that I will blast thy comfort.
Nay, Master Hall, you're a wise gentleman.
I will so cross thee, Luca.
And I thee, Hall.
Oh, so without mercy fret thee, Luca.
So monstrously oppose thee, Hall.
Scoff at my just anger. Oh, and I had as much power as usury has over thee.
Then thou wouldst have as much power as the devil has over thee.
Toad.
Yes, fit.
Serpent.
Viper.
Toad.
Gentlemen, then we must divide you for
serpent.
Master. Lamprey,
help me!
Yes, Master Spitzcoat, when the fire grows too unreasonable hot, there's no better way than to take off the wood. Drag him away!
Fear you nothing, sir. I've lodged her in a house.
Hast thou the widow's false document?
Oh, firm, sir.
Prithee, stay. And behold, those two there, they are the most prodigious rascals that ever slipped into the shape of men. Dampit, sirrah, and young Gulf, his fellow extortioner.
Dampit, sure I've heard of Master Dampit.
Heard of him? Why, man, he that has lost both his ears may hear of him. A famous, infamous trampler of time, his own phrase. In short, an attorney, a petty solicitor. Note him well. That Dampit, sirrah, he in the uneven beard and the serge cloak, is the most notorious, usuring, blasphemous, atheistical, brothel, vomiting rascal that we have now, whose first piece of business was the stealing of a mastiff dog from a farmer's house.
Well, it looked as if he would obey the commandments well when he began first with stealing.
True, and the next town he came at, he stirred up trouble.
A sign he should follow the law, by my faith, eh?
So it followed indeed, and being destitute, staked his mastiff dog against another in a fight for a bet, and by great fortune, his dog won. How he made his winnings up to 10 shillings, I know not, but his own boast is that he came to London with 10 shillings in his purse, and now is credibly worth £10,000.
How the devil came he by it?
How the devil came he not by it? If you put in the devil once, riches come with a vengeance. He has been a trampler of the law, sir, and the devil has a care of his footman. The rogue has spied me now. He cheated me finally once, too. Oh, Harry, Dampit!
Theodore!
Cry your mercy, Master Gulf. You walk so low, I promise I saw you not, sir.
He that walks low walks safe, the poets tell us, Master Whitgood.
And nearer hell by a foot and a half than the rest of his fellows. Harry, 'twas a merry world when thou camest to town with 10 shillings in thy purse.
Now worth £10,000, my boy. Report it. Harry Dampit, a trampler of time. Say he would be up in the morning, up to the hams in a kiss, have his feet stink about Westminster law courts, and come home again. Then I would trample up and down like a mule. Now to the judges. May it please your reverend honourable fatherhoods. Then to the examiner's office. May it please your worshipful lousiness, for I find him scratching in his codpiece. Then to the law courts again. Then to the chamber again.
And when to the wine cellar again?
E'en when thou wilt again. A trampler of time, staggering down Fleet Street and Holborn. Here I have fees of one, there I have fees of another. My clients come about me, the fools and coxcombs of the country. I still thrashed and trotted for other men's causes. Thus was poor Harry Dampit made rich by others' laziness, who, though they would not follow their own lawsuits, I made them follow me with their purses.
Tis thou so, Harry?
And I soused them with bills, i' faith. £20 a year have I made out of boat hire, and I never stepped into a boat in my life.
Solicitors, tramplers of town, oh, thou art a mad old Harry. Master Gulf, I am bold to renew my acquaintance.
I embrace it, sir.
Ten, 16. The adversary whore ever more censures me with me nephew, Whitgood. Why? May not a virtuous uncle have a dissolute nephew? What though he be a brotherer, a waste thrift, and a beggar must sin in him, call up shame in me? What is it, George?
There's a country serving man, sir, attends to speak with your worship.
Well, I'm at leisure. Send him in to me.
Sir, this way.
Oh, bless your venerable worship.
Welcome, good fellow.
He little thinks I am a tavern keeper.
What's thy business with me?
Faith, I am sent from my mistress to any well-to-do gentleman in London to ask advice upon a doubtful point. 'Tis indifferent, sir, to whom I ask, for I know none here, nor did my mistress direct me to any particular man, for she's as mere a stranger here as myself. Only I heard your worship were an honest man.
Good blood honesty. I like you. Who is thy mistress?
Oh, Faith, a country gentlewoman and a widow, sir. Mm. We intended to leave London yesterday, but now she intends to stay till some legal matters be ended.
Her name, I prithee?
It's there, in the document, sir, among her lands. Widow Medler.
Medler? Mass, have I never heard of that widow?
Oh, yes, I warrant you, have you, sir? Not the rich widow in Staffordshire?
Rich? Cuds me that it indeed thou hast put me into memory. Ah, that I were a bachelor again.
Oh, no doubt your worship might do much then. But she's fairly promised to a bachelor already.
Ah, what is he, I prithee?
Well, a country gentleman too, one whom your worship knows not, I'm sure, has spent some few follies in his youth, but marriage, by my faith, begins to call him home. My mistress loves him, sir, and love covers faults, you know. One Master Whitgood, if ever you've heard of the gentleman.
Whitgood, says thou.
That's his name, indeed, sir. My mistress is like to bring him 400 a year.
What countryman might this young Whitgood be?
A Leicestershire gentleman, sir, yes.
Me nephew be the mass, me Matthew. And is that gentleman, says thou, presently to marry her?
Faith, he brought her up to town, sir, and has the best card in all the bunch for her heart, and I know my mistress will be married before she returns.
Ah, well, by me faith, sir, she has a proper gentleman in Master Whitgood.
What? Does your worship know him, sir?
I know him. Does not all the world know of him? Can a man of such exquisite qualities be hid under a bushel?
Well, then your worship may save me a labour, for I have been asked to inquire about him.
Inquire about him. If I might counsel thee, thou shouldst never trouble thyself further. Inquire of him no more, but of me. I grant he has been useful, but is he not now reclaimed? Has not your mistress been wanton in her youth? What? If men be wags, are there not women wantons?
No doubt, sir.
Does not he return wisest that comes home whipped with his own follies?
Since your worship has so much knowledge in him, can you answer me, sir, what his living might be? My duty binds me, sir, to have a care of my mistress's estate. And he makes us believe he has lands and living.
Who, young Master Whitgood? Ah. Why, indeed it. He has a goodly fine living out yonder. What do you call the place?
Yeah, I know nothing, Faith.
The sea like a beast, if I have not forgot the name. And out yonder again, woods and fair meadows and... Poxant, I can never remember the name of that place either. He? Why, he's Whitgood of Whitgood Hall.
Is he so, sir? Mm. We heard once he had no lands, but all lay mortgaged to an uncle he has in town here.
Oh, pooh, 'tis a tale, 'tis... A tale.
I can assure you, sir, it was credibly reported to my mistress.
Why, do you think, Keith, he was ever so simple to mortgage his lands to his uncle? Or his uncle so unnatural to extract the full amount of such a mortgage?
Well, that was the story I was told, sir.
never think it.
Yet that report is current, you see.
Nay, then you insist I am his uncle.
Ah! What have I done?
Hmm? Can that be of any harm to you?
What was it, you sir? Do me the favour to conceal it. What a beast was I to utter so much. Pray, sir, do me the kindness to keep it secret, for the truth is, to prevent talk, they intend to be married very quickly and privately.
But then dost thou think I would do them injury? Must I say my knowledge of this marriage comes from thee? Am I a fool at 64? Do I lack subtlety now that have got all me wealth by it? Three gold pieces for thee. Now, come, where are they?
I whisper in your worship's ear.
No, come, sir.
Nearby, a bargain.
Ah, why, now thou'rt an honest lad.
Please, you, sir, when shall I come for your advice upon Master Whitgood's income and land? I must be careful now.
No, tut, fear thou nothing to... Tomorrow evening shall resolve any doubts about me, nephew.
Till then, sir.
Fare thee well. There's true honesty in such a country serving man. George!
Sir?
List, hither. Commend me to my nephew. Tell him he should come and see his uncle. He is nearby at Park End. Keep the place secret.
I will, sir.
And you hear, sir, take heed you treat him with respect.
Here's a strange alteration, sir. One day he must be turned out like a beggar, and now he must be called in like a knight.
No, the matter is too subtle for a mere servant to comprehend.
Sir.
See there, that rich widow, 400 a year. Beside her, here she lays claim to a title of 100 more. It is unfortunate that my nephew should bear me a grudge now, being likely to prove so rich. Why is, do you suppose? I hope he has not so much wit to apprehend that I cheated him. Good heavens, who would have thought it would come to this pass? Yet, he's a proper gentleman, faith, give him his due. Marry, there's his mortgage. That I... never mean to give him. I'll make him rich enough in words. And if it come to a piece of money, I will not grudge it. There may be hope of some of the widow's lands may one day fall upon me, if things be carried wisely. Now, sir, where is he?
He desires your worship to hold him excused. He has such weighty business.
Oh, were those my nephew's words?
Yes, indeed, sir.
When men grow rich, they grow proud, too. He would not have sent me such an answer once within this 12 months. See what 'tis when a man's come into land. Return to him again, sir. Tell him his uncle desires his company for an hour. I'll trouble him but an hour, say. 'Tis for his own good, tell him. And do you hear, sir, call him worship. Go to. Do as I bid you.
Sir...
Yes, he uses his uncle discourteously now. Can he tell what I may do for him? Goodness may come from me in a minute. He knows me humour. I'm not usually good. But 'tis no small thing that draws kindness from me. The chief cause that invites me to do him good is the sudden astonishing of old Horde, my adversary. How pale his malice will look at my nephew's advancement. With what a dejected spirit he will behold his fortunes, whom but yesterday he proclaimed a rioter, despised brothel master. It will give me more joy than my last piece of business, more precious comfort than all these widows' revenues. Now, George...
With much entreaty, he's come, sir.
Nephew, let me salute you, sir. You're welcome, nephew.
Uncle, I thank you.
You've a fault, nephew. You're a stranger here. Well, heaven give you joy.
Of what, sir?
Well, you might have stayed here in your uncle's house, if faith. You and your widow...
My widow? How could you hear of that, sir?
No,
pardon me, it was your will to keep it from me.
Not for any defect of love, I protest, Uncle.
Oh, 'twas unkindness, nephew, Five-Five.
Will you but hear my excuse, sir?
Yes.
You know how dangerous it is for me in the city, sir, how great my debts are, and how extreme my creditors. You could not, sir, have wished us to stay here.
Master, good reason.
If we had stayed with you, Uncle, you would have made her believe the whole house had been mine.
I would. And most of the goods, too.
Let them all say what they will. There's nothing like the bringing of a widow to one's uncle's house.
An uncle's house, a sanctuary. Sirrah, hast thou so much claim on thy widow that couldst send for her?
Troth, I think I can, Uncle.
Well, let me see that.
Command one of your men hither, Uncle.
George?
Sir?
Attend me, nephew.
A word, sir.
I love to prattle with a rich widow. 'Tis pretty, methinks, when our tongues go together. And then to promise much and perform little. I love that sporty faith. Yet I am in the mood now to do me, nephew, some good.
Now be gone, George.
Yes, sir.
What have you dispatched?
I have sent, sir.
Yet I must condemn you of unkindness, nephew.
Heaven forbid, Uncle.
Yes, faith, must I. Say, your debts be many, your creditors importunate, nephew. You might have sent me secret word of your good fortune without the least danger.
Troth, I confess it, Uncle, I was to blame there, but there's a trifle of £40 I need to fit me out before I can marry. My friends should never have known on it. I meant to shift for that myself.
£40. I charge you upon my love, you trouble nobody but myself.
You have no reason for that, Uncle.
No, no, I'll never be friends with you while you live, unless you do.
Nay, and you say so, Uncle. Here's my hand.
Well, sir, there's some hope in thee when thou wilt be ruled. I'll make it up to £50, because I see thee so reclaimed. Oh, peace, here comes me wife with Sam, her first husband's son.
Master Whitgood!
Good aunt.
Cousin Whitgood, I rejoice in my salute.
Master Sam, I return the salute.
By the mass, Whitgood's widow comes. Wife, let me see now how thou wilt receive her.
I hope I am not to learn, sir, to entertain a widow. 'Tis not so long ago since I was one myself.
Uncle. This is Mistress Medler.
Oh, indeed.
My uncle was desirous to see you, Flavia, and I presumed to invite you.
The presumption was nothing, Master Whitgord. Oh, is this your uncle's son?
Marry, am I a sweet widow, and a good uncle he shall find me. I, by this kiss that I give thee, thou'lt welcome.
Pecunius?
Wife, bid the widow welcome the same way.
I'm a gentleman now, too, and I see no reason but I may kiss a widow by my father's example. I'll do her. A kiss, madam?
Not with thee, sir.
Codes niggs. I was never so disgraced since the hour my mother whipped me.
A word with thee, sweet widow. Look, I have no child of mine own to care for. She's me second wife. Old, past bearing. Now, clap sure to Whitgood, widow. He's like to be me heir, I can tell you.
Oh, is he so, sir?
He knows it already in the knave's proud on't. Jolly rich widows have been offered him here in the city, great merchants' wives. And do you think he would once look upon them for sooth? He'll none. I'll hold a wager, widow. If he were once known to be in town, he would be immediately sought after. Nay, and happy were they that could catch him first.
Oh, I think so.
Oh, there would be such running to and fro, widow. They know he has it. You see, this house here, widow, this house and all, comes to him. Goodly rooms, ready furnished, sealed with plaster of Paris.
Oh, Paris.
Nephew.
Sir?
Show the widow your house. Carry her into all the rooms and bid her welcome. You shall see, widow. Nephew. Now, strike sure.
Alas, sir, I know not how she would take it.
Well, the right way I warrant thee art an ass. Would I were in thy stead. Get you up. sir. I am ashamed of you.
Come, madam.
Yes, many a match has been struck in me house. Hold me wife and talk a little. Now, Ginny, your son there goes wooing to a poor gentlewoman, but see me nephew, a lad of less hope, strikes 400 a year in good land.
Well, we must do as we may, sir.
I'll have his money ready told for him before he comes down. Let me see. By the mass, I must present the widow with some jewel. A good piece of plate? I have a very fair standing cup, a good high standing cup, will please a widow above all other pieces.
Master Horde, I've bestowed many months in pursuit of your niece. Such was the dear love I bore her. But since she hath denied me, I must look elsewhere.
Master Manilov, I told you my niece was otherwise disposed.
You did, sir, yet in regard to my great loss of time and the zeal with which I sought your niece, can I desire one favour of your worship?
'Tis hard, but you can, sir.
'Tis not full 3 hours, sir, since I heard of a rich country widow.
How? A rich country widow?
400 a year landed. I've learnt where she stays. If I might but entreat your worship to speak a good word for me, then I'm certain I'll have a fair chance with the widow, nor shall your labour, sir, end altogether in thanks. £100.
What suitors has she?
Well, there lies the comfort, sir. The report is that her only other suit is a Whitgood, nephew of your mortal adversary.
That's certain he's her suitor?
Oh, certain, sir. And his uncle is set on a match.
So?
Now, sir, you know this young Whitgood is a spendthrift, dissolute fellow.
And the spume of a brothel house.
Which, being well told, may both heave him out of the widow's mind and me into her affections.
Attend me about 5.
With my best care, sir.
Oh, fool, thou hast left thy treasure with a thief to trust a widower like me. Happy revenge, I ugly. I have not only the means laid before me to cross my adversary, Master Luca, and confound the last hopes of his nephew, but thereby to enrich my state, augment my revenues, and build mine own fortunes greater.
As 3 of Master Whitgood's creditors, we must be glad of this news.
So we are. Young Whitgood will be a gallant again now.
I promise you, she's a mighty rich widow.
Why, have you ever heard of her?
Who? Widow Medler. She lies open to much talk.
400 a year, they say, in very good land.
Nay, take it in my word. If you believe that, you believe the least.
And to see how secret he keeps it.
He owes me £100. I protest, I never looked for a penny.
He little dreams of our coming. He'll wonder to see his creditors upon him. Let's go in and greet him.
My creditors. Could you find no other time to undo me but now?
Master Whitgood, I have forborne my money a long time.
I pray, speak low, sir. What do you mean?
We hear you are to be married suddenly to a rich country widow.
What can be kept so secret but you creditors here aren't? Well, to the lamentable state that our chiefest afflictors should first hear of our fortune.
We heard you brought up to town a rich widow, sir, and were to marry her.
Aye, why, there it is. But Since you are so well resolved of my faith toward you, let me be so much favoured of you, I beseech you.
Oh, no, don't beseech.
As to lie still a while and bury my debts in silence till I be fully possessed of the widow. For the truth is, I may tell you, as my friend...
Of course.
I am to raise a little money in the city for my own credit and for your comfort. Now, if my former death should be divulged, all hope of my proceedings would be quite extinguished.
Do you hear, Master Wedgwood? Pray let my money be accepted before a stranger's. Here's £40. Oh, make use on it.
You do so ravish me with kindness that I'm constrained to play the maid and take it.
Let none of them see it. I hope I shall be the first to be remembered after the marriage.
Believe it.
So, shall we go, sir?
Yes.
Do not worry, Master Whitgood. Within this hour, I'll send you sufficient money.
Come.
You two be gone. I've lost a ring, if faith. I'll follow you presently.
Master Whitgood, I know your youth and expenses have disfurnished you of all jewels. There is a ruby of £20 price. Bestow it on your widow. I would not have you beholding to those bloodsuckers for money.
Nor I believe it.
They're a brace of cutthroats.
I know them.
Send a note of all your wants to my shop. I'll supply you instantly.
Here's my hand, then. No man living shall do it but thyself.
I thank you, sir.
Why is not this better now than lying abed?
Master Whitgood, rich news. I am so haunted with suitors, Master Whitgood, I know not which to dispatch first. Among the number, one Master Horde.
Upon my life, my uncle's adversary.
It may well be so, for he rails on you, speaks shamefully of him.
Flavia, make up thy own fortunes now. Do thyself a good turn once in thy days. He's rich in money, movables, and land. Marry him. He's an old doting fool, and that's worth all. Marry him. 'Twould ease my conscience well to see thee well bestowed. I have a care of thee, Ifeth.
Oh, sweet Master Whitgood. I think I hear him. Let us step into another room.
Master Horde, you are welcome.
Oh, thank you, Master.
Master Lamprey.
Master Host.
Master Spitzcock.
Thanks, Master Host.
Art thou the widow's man? I hear see thou art in most credit with her.
Not so, Master Horde.
Oh, come, thou art modest. There's a brace of gold coins. Pretty, help me with her.
I was never brought up to refuse any man's money, never. What fools there are of this side of the world.
I'll do what I can, sir.
Go it. Now, gentlemen, stand firmly by me. You know his follies and my worth.
We do, sir.
But, Master Horde, are you sure Whitgood is not in the house now?
Upon my honesty, I chose this time on purpose. The spendthrift is abroad. Assist me. Here she comes. Oh, Mistress Lidla.
You're welcome, Master Horde. And gentlemen.
I am come, widow, to prove my words, neither of envy sprung nor false tongues, but such as Master Whitgood and Lucas' deserts and actions do merit and bring forth. On which these gentlemen, well known and better reputed, will confirm.
Oh, gentlemen, I do entreat you, as you are fair in reputation and in appearing form, so shine in truth. Be partial unto neither Masters Whitgood or Luca, but deliver without prejudice your opinion.
And that will be done.
Nay, I beseech your silence, Master Horde. You are a prejudiced party.
Not a word.
The better first to encourage your belief. No, neither of us, O Master Horde, flattery, nor Master Whitgood, malice.
No malice, mistress.
It suffices.
That Whitgood is a riotous, undone man, imperfect both in fame and in estate. His debts wealthier than he.
Nor land, nor living, say you? Pray take heed you do not wrong the gentleman.
What we speak, our lives and means are ready to make good.
Alas! How soon are we poor souls beguiled?
And for his uncle.
His uncle? A severe extortioner, a tyrant, greedy of others' miseries. One that would undo his brother, swallow up his father if he can.
Master Hord, you promised.
Oh, Mum.
Nay, believe it, Mistress Medlar. You not only match yourself to debts, but in evil and unnatural stock.
Unnatural stock?
Oh, is my love so deceived? Before you all, I do renounce him. On my knees, I vow he ne'er shall marry me.
Take her 3 pounds.
Then, with a new and pure affection, behold yon gentleman, Master Hord, grave, kind, and rich.
And rich?
It is a match worthy of yourself. He can join land to land and will possess you of whatever you desire.
Whatever you desire.
Come, widow, come.
The world is so deceitful.
Not in him, Poosh.
Oh, pray, sir.
Come, you widows are ever most backward when you should do yourselves most good. Come, clap hands.
A match.
A match.
A match.
With all my heart, widow. Thanks, gentlemen. I will deserve your labor and thy love.
Alas, you love not widows but for wealth. I promise you, I have nothing, sir.
Well said, widow. Well said. Thy love is all I seek. I swear before these gentlemen.
But, Master Hord, how shall I suddenly avoid the loathed soliciting of that perjured Whitgood and his tedious, dissembling uncle, who this very day hath arranged a meeting for the same purpose as you, where, had not truth come out, I had been undone. Utterly undone.
Tell young Whitgood you will meet him alone. Hasten somewhat before the hour arranged, where at the place appointed, these gentlemen and myself will wait the opportunity when by some trick I'll remove him from thee. Will suddenly enter and surprise thee, carry thee away by boat to cool harbour. Well, have a piece ready, and there be married instantly. I like it, widow.
In that it pleaseth you, I like it well.
Oh, I kiss thee for these words. Come, gentlemen. We are still to your aid, beholding.
We wish to see it well ended.
Not only in joy, but in wealth excel. No more sweet widow, but sweet wife. Farewell.
Farewell, sir.
For more scalp, I can laugh eternally. Give you joy, Flavia. Mistress Hord, I promised your fortune was good, forsooth. You have fell upon wealth, and there's young gentleman enough can help you to the rest.
Master Whitgood, your uncle.
Oh.
Cut me. Remove thyself a while, Flavia.
Master Luca, sir.
Hey, good morning, nephew.
The same to you, kind uncle.
Now, how fares the widow? Does the meeting hold?
Oh, no question of that, sir. The sooner, the better, uncle. Oh, she's mightily sought after.
And yet so little known.
One old gentleman will make her a gift of 300 a year. Forsooth, here a merchant's son will possess her for no less than 3 goodly estates at once.
Peace, nephew. Let me hear no more of them. Thou shalt present them all. No words to the widow, me coming hither. Now, let me see, 'tis now upon 9. Before 12, nephew, we will have the bargain struck. We will, if faith, boy.
Oh, my precious uncle.
Uncle Hord.
Niece sweet, niece joyous breath. Prithee, have a care to my house whilst I am out. Be content to dream a while. I'll have a husband for thee shortly. Put that care upon me, wench. For in choosing wives and husbands, I'm very fortunate. I have that gift given me.
You have, uncle. But
'Tis not likely you should choose for me, since it is Whitgood, the nephew to your chiefest enemy, whom I love. But, oh, forgetful, why dost thou flatter thy affection so with name of Whitgood, that for a widow's bed neglect'st thy purer love? Can it be so, or does report lie? How now, sir?
A hay letter for your Mistress Joyce.
Therein I thank your care.
Ma'am.
I know this hand. Dearer than sight, what the reports of me, yet believe not. Be thou constant. I am still the same that I was in love. And hope to be the same in fortunes. Theodorus Whitgood. I am resolved. No more shall fear or doubt raise their pale powers to keep affection out.
You're very welcome to my tavern, Master Hort, gentlemen.
Ask at the bar if a gentlewoman came in lately.
Oh, none came in yet, sir.
Oh, that very name, Faith. I shall remember a lusty widow the longest day of my life.
Did I not use most art to win the widow?
I was the first that moved her.
Oh, you were, Faith.
I joined their hands together.
Oh, but I must, I think you did. Gentlemen, you all did well. Oh, Mary, quarrel no more.
You're very welcome to my tavern, Master Whitgood, madam. Please you to walk upstairs. Cloth is laid, sir.
Upstairs? Oh, troth, I am weary, Master Whitgood.
Rest yourself here a while, Mistress Medlar. We'll have a cup of wine in this little room.
A large cup of wine, no short measure, sir. I know about wine.
Oh, you shall have the best, sir.
What is provided for dinner?
Oh, I cannot readily tell you, sir. If you please, you may come into the kitchen and see for yourself, sir.
I will. Look to our devices, Flavia. I follow you, sir.
Alas, what have I forgot?
What, mistress?
I slipped my wedding ring off when I washed and left it at my lodging. Oh, prithee, run. I shall be mad without it.
Aye, madam. Aye.
So, he's gone. Boy!
Mistress?
Learn if one Master Hort, an ancient gentleman, be about house.
Oh, such a one named is in the next room.
Take me to him.
This is the room, mistress.
Mistress Medlar.
Oh, my sweet widow.
Enough talk. Away to bolts.
Thus wise men are revenged.
Tavern keeper, I must request you, sir, to show extraordinary care. My uncle comes with gentlemen, his friends, and 'tis upon making a marriage.
Who is it so?
Where's my widow? Boy!
Jekyll, sir.
Went the gentlewoman up that was here?
Up, sir? Well, she went out, sir.
Out, sir?
Out, sir. One master all with two gentlemen carried her out the back door, sir.
Hoard! Death and darkness, Hoard!
The devil of a ring, I can't find it.
Where's the widow?
Is she not here?
More madness.
She sent me for a ring.
A plot about she stole away.
What? Master Luca.
Follow and inquire after old Hall.
Nephew, what's that?
That's right. Miserable wretch.
Why, what's the matter?
The widow's borne away, sir.
Who durst attempt it?
You, but old Hall.
How?
With his confederates.
Hard, me deadly enemy. I will not bear it as in hate of me. That villain seeks me shame, he thirsts for me blood, he owes me mortal malice.
So maliciously.
How now, you treacherous rascal?
That's none of my name, sir.
Oh, poor soul, he knew not on.
I'm sorry.
I traced him.
Well?
They have took her to Cool Harbour.
The devil's sanctuary. They shall not rest. I'll pluck her from his arms. Come, we have delayed too long. Nephew, take comfort and just... cause is strong.
That is my comfort, Uncle. I go to find constables.
Mm-hmm.
did I, Master Dampit, solicitor and usurer, say my prayers. In Anno Domini 80, when the great armada was coming, and in Anno Domini 99, when the great thundering and lightning was, I prayed heartily then, if faith, kneeled by my great iron chest. I remember.
Well, let me hear you before they see you. You keep sweet hours, Master Dampit. We were all about 3 hours ago.
Audrey.
Oh, you are a fine gentleman.
So I am, if faith, and a fine scholar. Did you go to bed so early, Audrey?
Call you this early, Master Dampit?
Why, it's not 1 o'clock in the morning. It's not that early enough. Fetch me a glass of fresh beer.
Here, I've warmed your nightcap for you, Master Dampit.
What is on my head, then? Oh, I'm very weak, truly. I've not eaten so much as an egg these 3 days.
You've drunk them all, Master Dampit.
Did you hear what's that?
You could eat if you tried, Master Dampit.
I answer you, I cannot. Hold your prating. You prate too much, and you understand too little. You answered, give me a glass of beer.
May I ask you how you are, Master Dampit?
How am I? Faith, I am nothing.
I never knew you otherwise.
I eat not one penneth of bread these 2 years. Give me a glass of fresh beer. I am not sick. No, I am not well.
I'll take this warm napkin about your neck, sir, whilst I help to undress you.
Now, Audrey Prater, with your scurvy devices, what say you now?
What say I, Master Damper? I say nothing but that you are very weak.
Keith, thou hast more ways to cheat than all London.
Why, Master Damper, I never deceived you in all my
life.
Why
was that? Because I never did trust thee.
I care not what you say, Master Damper.
Hold thy prating. I answer thee, thou art a beggar, a strumpet, a bawd. I answered.
Fine, Master Damper, a gentleman, and have such words.
Thou base drudge of misfortune, thou kitchen stuff, drag of beggary, roguery, and coxcombry, thou strumpet of foolery, knavery, and bawd rimini. I'll tell thee what, I will not give a louse for thy fortunes.
Oh, no, Master Dampit. And there's a gentleman comes wooing me, and he fears nothing but that you will get me from him.
If I would either have thee or lie with thee for £2,000, would I might be damned.
Oh, come, come, will you rise and go to bed, sir?
Rise? And go to bed too, Audrey? Oh. She is as fine a philosopher of a stinker's wife as any within the city brothels. Audrey.
How now, Master Dampit?
My bond, what a choice of stinks is here. What hast thou done, Audrey? Oh, Firepond, here's a choice of stinks, indeed. Give me a glass of fresh beer, and I will go to bed.
It waits for you in your bedroom, sir.
Oh, I think they burn horns. Oh, if ever I smell such an abominable stink, usually forsake me. Look,
they be the stinking nails of your feet, and you talk of burning horns.
We are safe here in Cole Harbour, but you had best conclude the business quickly, Parson.
Join hearts, join hands, in wedlock's bands, never to part till death cleave your heart. You shall forsake all other women. What my tongue slips, make up with your lips.
Thanks, kind sir.
Give you joy, Mistress Hord. Let us kiss. Who knocks? Get thee gone, Parson, by the other door.
Hord!
Upon my life, Luca.
Hord, open the door, or we
Masters Lamprey and Spitchcock, keep him out.
He comes upon his death that enters here.
My friends, assist me.
He has assistance, gentlemen.
Nor him, nor them, we in this action fear.
May I in peace speak one word with the widow?
Husband and gentleman, hear me but a word.
Freely, sweet wife.
Oh, let him in peaceably. You know we're protected from any act of his.
Most true.
You may stand by and smile at his old weakness. Let me answer him.
Content. 'Twill be good mirthy faith. How think you, gentlemen? Let him in.
Hear me, Master Luca. If you will vow a peaceful entrance, we shall receive you.
I do vow it.
Then enter and talk freely with the widow. Here she stands.
Oh, Master Horde, your excellent adventurance, Master Horde.
Well, step aside. Talk to the widow.
I am the fool you laugh at. Oh, you are wise, sir. Know the seasons well. Come hither, widow.
Yes, sir.
Now, why is it thus? Oh, you have done me infinite disgrace, and your own credit no small injury to bear you from my nephew. Though I had rather half my fortune had been lost.
Why, what would you wish me do, sir? I must not overthrow my state for love. We have too many precedents for that. From thousands of our wealthy undone widows one may derive some wisdom. I do confess I loved your nephew. Nay, I did love him against the mind and liking of my friends. Believed his promises and boasts of lands and wealth. It appears dross. I find him not the man. In words fair, in performance empty. For can any woman love the thing that is not?
Broke you for this?
Was it not cause enough? Send to inquire his state. Most part of it lay mortgaged in his uncle's hands.
Oh, I say it did. You might have known me mine. I could have soon restored it.
Had I seen any such thing performed, why, 'twould have secured my affection. Do you think that I could twine such a dry oak as this hoard had the promise in your nephew been fulfilled?
Why, all's not lost, and rather than hoard should thus thwart me hopes,
You have been ever full of golden speech. If words were lands, your nephew would be rich.
Widow, believe it, I vow by my best bliss, before these gentlemen, I will give the mortgage back to me nephew instantly, before I sleep or eat. Nay more, he shall be my heir. I have no son. I'll bind myself to that condition.
When I shall hear this has been done, I shall soon yield to reasonable terms.
Now, in the meantime, will you promise to keep yourself as you are now, at present, a widow?
I do promise.
I'll send you word all is done.
That's all I wait for.
Have you finished, Master Luca?
So laugh, Hord. Laugh at your poor enemy, do. The wind may turn. You may be laughed at, too. Yes, marry me, you, sir. Ha, ha,
ha. Oh, if every man that swells in malice could be revenged as happily as I, he would choose hate and forswear amity. What did he say, wife, prithee?
Faith spoke to ease his mind. You know now to little purpose.
True.
He would do anything.
No, I
you struck him dead, Master.
And his nephew desperate.
I knew it, sir. Oh, never did man so crush his enemy.
Oh, nephew, what cheer! Alas, poor gentleman, how thou art changed. Call thy fresh blood into thy cheeks again. She comes.
Nothing afflicts me so much but that it is your adversary, uncle, and merely plotted to spite you.
Aye, that's what mads me. Spites me! I'll spend me welfare, he shall carry her off, because I know it is only to spite me. Aye, this is it. Now, here, nephew, I deliver your mortgage, me promise to the widow.
Oh.
See, it is done. Now, be wise. You're once more master of your own. The widow shall perceive now you are not altogether such a beggar as the world reputes you. You can show her 300 a year.
Oh, sir.
Yes, to you, you good. I am contented with this.
I know it, sir.
Yeah, much money I laid out. I hope you'll think on nephew.
Well, I were worse than a beast else, if it.
Although to blind the widow and the world, I out of policy do it, yet... There's a conscience, nephew.
Heaven forbid else.
Oh, well, then when you have the widow, I trust you will return the mortgage.
Pray let me understand you rightly, Uncle. Mm. You give it back to me, but only in trust?
Well, no, I give it back to you freely.
That is, you trust me with it.
Yes, no, true.
But if ever I trust you with it again, would I might be trussed up for my labour?
I have informed the widow what I have done for you. All's well now. Wife, Ginny.
What's the news?
The wedding day's at hand. Ooh. Prithee, sweet wife, express thy house wifery. Now, to fine cork, I note.
Oh.
Thy first husband took thee out of an alderman's kitchen to marry thee.
You remember that, sir?
Oh, I do, madam. Now, come, nephew. Wedding's Thursday morning. There's much to be done. Master Hoard laughed at me. Come, madam.
Mortgage. Soul of my estate, I kiss thee. I miss life's comfort when I miss thee. Oh, never will we part again until I leave the sight of men.
At his creditor, I'll wait these 7 hours in his room, but I'll see Whitgood gone.
Faith, so will I, as equal creditor.
Hang him! He's stripped of the widow, Hoard has her!
She has made the happier choice.
Oh, here's Whitgood! He's been caught!
A good day's work, Constable. We have caught the deceiver. Leave us.
Oh, thank you.
My joy was so great it took away all sense of what could happen. How soon a black tempest rises. Oh,
what's become of your wretched widow?
Prodigal, daily rioter, nightly vomiter.
You do well, my masters, to afflict the afflicted.
Come, come, sir. What's here you extemporate now to your bill of £100?
Well, mine for £40.
Is mine for 50.
Will you even hear me speak?
No, you shall pardon us for that, sir. We know you have too glib a tongue. You overcome us too lately, ashamed. Take
give
your...
me but reasonable time, and I'll give you ample satisfaction.
Do you talk a reasonable time to us?
We must have either money or carcass.
But us, what good will my carcass do you?
Oh, it is our secret delight. We that used to keep birds in cages, keep men in prisons.
Will you give me leave, my masters, to ask my friends and raise what money I can?
That's our desire, sir.
What a sweet blessing hast thou, Master Hoard, above the multitude. Wilt thou never be thankful? How dost thou think to be blessed another time? Or dost thou count this the full measure of thy happiness? By my troth, I think thou dost. A wife, large in possessions. She's rich, she's young, she's fair, she's wise. And when I wake, I think of her lands. That revives me. When I go to bed, I dream of her beauty. Well, that's enough for me. She's worth 400 a year in her very smock if a man knew how to use it. We will journey into the country to ride to her lands in state. with a company to ride along with us in their goodly decorum beards, their broad velvet cassocks and chains of gilt. I'll entertain some 10 men of mine own as servants, all of sound occupations or qualities, the sight of which will so vex my adversary Luca, for we'll pass by his door of purpose, make a little stand for the nonce, have our horses piss under the window. Certainly,
I'll never endure it, but run up and hang himself. My wife.
Sir.
I would not, sweet wife. Which would like best, to have the wedding dinner here or in the country?
Faith, sir, I would like it better here. Here you were married. Here let all rights be ended.
Could a marquis give a better answer?
Oh, sir.
Master host. What haste come here now? Oh, a letter. Some drake of my adversary's malice. Come hither. Well, what's the news?
A thing that concerns my mistress Medler, sir. Here, madam.
Oh,
Why, then it concerns me, Neil.
I cry, your worship, mercy. You both like to come into trouble, I promise you, sir. A previous legally binding betrothal agreement.
Huh? A legally binding betrothal agreement, she thought.
I fear Whitgood and Luca have proof on, sir. Old Luca runs up and down mad and will to law as fast as he can. Young Whitgood, laid hold on by his creditors, says you have brought his undoing by the breaking of his managed contract with Mistress Medler here.
What do you mean?
Whitgood will have utmost satisfaction. The law shall give him recompense, he says.
Alas, his creditors are merciless.
Why, what says that letter? Let me read it.
Cursed be my rash and unadvised words. Look, I tear it up.
Huh?
To have agreed to marry that profligate. I'll tread that agreement to dust.
Wife! A pretty trick. I commend a woman when she can keep a letter from her husband. And this was sweetly done by me, troth.
I did it, sir. Some foolish words did pass twixt Whitgood and myself, which now litigiously he fastens on me.
What fuss? Let me examine him.
Nor too strong, I fear. Would I were well freed of him.
How? Can we trick him?
Oh, no, sir. I'd have it done some nobler way on your side. I'd have you come off with honour. Let baseness keep with them. Why? Have you the means, sir? Mm. Well, the occasion's offered you.
How, dear wife?
He is now caught by his creditors. The slave's needy, his debts petty. He'll rather bind himself to all inconveniences than rot in prison. By this means we may get a release from him. 'Tis not yet come to his uncle's hearing. Send speedily for the creditors. By this time he's desperate, he'll agree to anything. Take over his debts or discharge them. A pox on him, let's be rid of the rascal.
Oh, excellent. Oh, that just astonished me. Go, run, make haste. Bring both the creditors and Whitgood hither. In the meantime, I'll have an agreement drawn up.
I'm yet like those whose riches lie in dreams. If I be waked, they're false. Such is my fate.
Pray heaven Whitgood be in the right vein now to set his hand to it. Grant that all his follies may meet in him at once. Oh, I pray for him, wife.
Here he comes with his 3 creditors.
What would you with me now, Master Hord?
I heard you were arrested.
Well, what then? You will pay none of my debts, I'm sure.
A wise man cannot tell. There may be those conditions agreed upon which may move me to do much.
Aye? When? Tis thou, perjured woman! Oh, Mistress Medler, no name is vile enough to match thy treachery that art the cause of my confusion.
Out, you penurious slave!
Nay, wife, you're too angry. Let him alone. Give losers leave to talk.
Shall I remember thee of another promise far stronger than the first would call shame to thy cheeks?
Shame?
Hark in your ear.
Will he pay my debts?
I doubt nothing. I think you might have made some effort to discharge this debt yourself and not have burdened me with it.
Now, my truth, I could not.
No more. Why, do your worst for that. I defy you.
You are impudent. I'll call up witnesses.
Call up thy wits, for thou hast been devoted to follies a long time.
Oh, wife, you are too bitter.
Master Whitgood, and you, creditors, you shall hear a mild speech from me now, and this it is. It has been my fortune, gentlemen, to have an extraordinary blessing poured upon me of late, and here she stands. I have wedded her and bedded her, and yet she is little the worse. Some foolish words she hath passed with you, Master Whitgood, in the country, and some peevish debts you owe here in the city. Release you from her words, and I'll release you of your debts, sir.
Would you so? I thank you for that, sir. I cannot ask you to do it, I' faith.
Why, are not debts better than words, sir?
Are not words promises, and are not promises debts, sir?
Be pleased with me.
Draw aside, Master Whitgood. We'll talk with ye. Be ruled by fools once. Take hold of his offer. Pox on her, let her go. If your debts were once discharged, I would help you to a widow myself, worth 10 of her.
Yes, Master Mallygrub's sister, newly fallen a widow.
Master Mallygrub's sister? Rich?
10,000 and money, beside plate, jewels, etc.
My uncle will never endure me when he hears I agreed to release Mistress Medlar.
Hark, I'll tell thee a trick for that. I spent £500 in lawsuits in my time. I should be wise. Thou art now a prisoner. Make an agreement, take to my word. Whatsoever a man makes under duress is nothing in law, not this much.
Say you so, sir?
I have paid for it, I know.
Proceed, then. I consent.
Very well said.
Oh, now, my masters, what have you done with him?
With much ado, sir, we have got him to consent.
Ah, and what came his debts to now?
Some 80-odd pounds, sir.
80? No. Oh, no, give me a lighter sum. They are desperate debts, you know, which you would never have been paid for this accident. A poor needy knave, you would starve and rot in prison. Come, come, you shall have 10 shillings in the pound.
Cash, sir.
Oh, well, yes, go to then. The notary has drawn up the agreement. Notary! Ah.
Sir.
Oh, welcome, honest notary. Read the contract.
Well, be it known to all men by these presents that I, Theodorus Whitgood, gentleman, sole nephew to Pecunius Lucre, having unjustly made title and claim to one Flavia Medlar, late widow of Anthony Medlar, and now wife to Walkerdine Horde, in my consideration of a competent sum of money to discharge my debts, do forever hereafter disclaim any title, right, estate, or interest in or to the said widow, as also neither to lay claim by virtue of any former contract, grant, promise, or demise to any of her manors, manor houses, parks, groves, meadow grounds, arable lands, barns, stacks, stables, duff holes, and coney burrows, together with all her cattle, money, jewels, borders, chains, bracelets, furniture, hangings, movables or immovables. In witness whereof I, the said Theodorus Whitgood, have set my hand and seal before these presents the day and date above written.
What a precious fortune hast I let slip here. Well, Master Horde, give me the pen. I see it is vain to quarrel with our destiny. I sign.
So, give me that hand now before all these presents. I am friends forever with thee.
I bear you no grudge, Ifith.
Or ask thy uncle to the wedding dinner. We will be friends again.
I hope to bring it to pass myself, sir.
Oh, no. Is the right, creditors?
That shall be sufficient.
Come, here's an odd taste of my wine ere you part.
No. A word, creditor.
Sir? Will you take me to that rich widow now?
What rich widow?
Master Mallygrub's sister you spoke of, 10,000 in money beside plate jewels, etc.
Do you think that we were in earnest? Take you to a rich widow, a noted rioter, a contemptible prodigal. 'Twas a trick we had amongst us to get in our money. Fare ye well, sir.
Such a trick to get our money.
Fare you well, sir.
Well, well, and be hanged, you short, pit-eyed, ram-headed rascals. He that believes in you shall never be saved.
As my rich widow's gone, it seems, after all, I shall be forced to marry for love.
Master Whitgood!
Joyce, my life, my love, I was just thinking of you.
Meet me presently. This note will tell you where. Quick, my Uncle Hoard watches me.
One kiss is enough.
For Master Dembit as he lay to bed.
Let the usurer cram him in interest excel. There's brothels enough to damn him before he comes to hell. In Holborn some, in Fleet Street some, where'er he come, there's some, there's some.
Good, Audrey, good. Draw the curtain. Give me a sip of sack, more.
Just a sip, Master Dunphy.
Look you, Master Spitchcock. Did not I tell you he lay like the devil in chains?
Like the devil in chains? He's only bedrid with drinking, Master Lamprey.
True, sir. True. He spies us.
What? Masters Lamprey and Spitchcock, you come and see a weak man, a very weak man.
If you be weak in body, you should be strong in prayer, sir.
Oh, I have prayed too much.
I come to borrow £100 from you, sir.
Alas, you come at an ill time. Cannot spare it, in faith. I have but 2,000 in the house. Out, your genitive horn.
Ah, Sir Lancelot.
Sir Lancelot.
Yea, gentlemen, are you here before us? How is he now?
Faint, the same man still. The tavern bitch has bit him in the head.
And how cheers Master Dampit now?
Oh, my bosom, Sir Lancelot, how cheer I? Thy presence is restorative.
But I hear a great complaint of you, Master Dampit, among friends.
I'm glad of that. Prithee, what?
They say you are waxed proud of late, and if a friend visits you in the afternoon, you'll scarce know him.
I proud? I cannot remember any such thing, sure. I was drunk then.
Think you so, sir?
Fetch more wine.
Why, Master Dampy, if you carry on as you begin, you need not take care how you dispose of your wealth. You'll make the wine merchant your heir.
Out, you babbly minnie, you crematorid whore, you callousness of scabiosity.
Oh, good words, Master Dampy, to speak before a maid and a virgin.
Hang thy virginity upon the pole of carnality.
Oh, sweet terms.
Here he lies like a noisome dunghill, full of the poison of his drunken blasphemies, and they to whom he bequeaths all grudge him the very meat that feeds him, the very pillow that eases him.
Sir Lancelot, let me kiss thee, Sir Lancelot. Thou art the only friend that I honour and respect.
I thank you for that, Master Dampit.
Farewell, Sir Lancelot.
Gentlemen, and you love me, let me hide behind you, and one of you fall a-talking of me to him.
We will.
Yeah, Master Dampit. Sir Lancelot came to see you.
Hang him, rascal.
I wonder you can rail at him, sir. He comes in love to see you.
Alas, for his love. His father was a comb-maker. I've no need of his crawling love. He comes to have more time to pay off his debt.
Soot! I can no longer endure the rogue. Master Dampit, I come to take my leave once again, sir.
My dear and kind Sir Lancelot, the only gentleman of England, let me hug thee. Farewell, and 1,000 times farewell. Another glass of wine, one glass more, and let the bell toll. Is the wine pouring?
I thank your worship for your hot counsel, sir. Ah, Gentlemen, shall I show you a sight? Behold, who comes? Master Gulf, an usurer, worse than the other. And with him, Master Horde, that lately married the widow Medlar.
Where is Master Dempit?
Ah, gentlemen, how does Master Dempit...
Here he lies, in drawing in, sir, good wine as fast as he can, sir.
Aye, Master Dempit. You lie leasing a bed here. I come to invite you to my wedding dinner. Up.
Who's this? Oh, Master Horde. Who hast thou married in the name of Foolerim?
A rich widow.
A lusty widow.
A rich widow. Oh. One widow Medlar.
Medlar?
Oh, Dempit. Yeah. Here's a just judgment shown upon usury, extortion, and trampling villainy. This is excellent, Master Gulf. Thief rails upon the thief.
Is this the end of cutthroat usury, brothel, and blasphemy?
Thou rogue of universality, I know thee. Thou art a cowardly slave that offers to fight with a sick man when his weapon's down. Rail upon me in my naked bed? Why, thou great Lucifer's little vicar. I'm not sweet, but I know a knave at first sight.
Thy daggers out,
sir. You must exercise patience, Master Gulf, in a sick man's chamber. He'll quarrel with none, I warrant you, but those that are bedridden.
Let him come, gentlemen. I'm armed. Give me my piss-body.
Here will be a sweet fray anon. I'll leave you, gentlemen.
Nay, we'll along with you, Master Gulf.
Go hang him, usuring rascal.
Great gentlemen, depart. His hour's come upon him. He is on the point of death. Come, sleep in my bosom. Sleep.
Now, he's asleep.
It will be a pitiful day when he wakes. I would be loath to see that day come.
Nay, Uncle, let me persuade you. If it go, now Horde has invited you to his wedding dinner.
No, I shall have great joy there when he has borne away the widow.
'Tis nothing.
Nothing, sir? Is he not married to the widow?
No, by my troth, is he not, Uncle.
Well, how?
He is married to a whore.
I should laugh at that.
Uncle, let me perish in your favour if you find it not so, and that 'tis I that have married the honest woman.
A whore, you say?
A whore.
I'd walk 10 miles afoot to see that, if I...
And see it you shall, or I'll never see you again.
A whore, if I...
Nari... Oh, I like not this wine. Is there never a better wine in the house?
It is as good a wine as in England.
I desire your mistress to taste it. She has better skill.
Oh, yes, sir.
Joyce!
Do you call, sir?
Yes. Pretty sure, little diligence, and overlook the servants a little. They'll filch and steal today, send whole pasties home to their wives. If thou beest a good niece, do not see me robbed.
Fear it not, sir. I have cause. Though the feast be prepared for you, yet it serves fit for my wedding dinner, too.
Master Lamprey and Master Spitchcock, sir.
Oh, Master Lamprey, Master Spitchcock, you are most welcome, gentlemen.
Yeah, well, thank you, sir.
Oh, who would not wait? The most delicious life. No joys are like the comforts of a wife.
So we bachelors think that are not troubled with them.
Your brother is newly alighted, sir.
Master Onesiphorus Horde. Oh, I know our company begins to come. My dear kind brother.
Okay,
wait till we please.
You see, I have come on the hour, brother.
Say that for you, brother. You keep as good an hour to come to a feast as any gentleman in the shire.
So, brother,
Have you caught Widow Medlar?
Rum 'em all, brother. Old Lucas is so fox, I can tell you, brother.
Where is she? I'll go seek her out. I long to have a smack at her lips.
Brother, she comes.
Give her a kiss now. We may hear it all the house over.
Oh, heaven, I am betrayed. I know that face, and he knows me from the country. It is Onesiphorus Hoard.
Nay, brother, hark you. Come, are you disposed to be merry?
I mean you, brother.
You said this lady was your wife?
So she is.
Ah, on your oath, brother.
But what reason have I to lie with my friends, brother? If marriage can make her mine, she is mine.
I'm not well. I must crave pardon, brother. I cannot stay to dinner, if it.
You will not serve me so, brother.
By your leave.
What now?
You have shown your folly too much here.
Fie,
a man of your repute and name.
Oh, this grows too deep.
In your old age, to dote on a the courtesan. Huh? Marry a strumpet.
What?
Witgood's whore.
Witgood's whore? No lands, no money.
Money? Ha!
Speak, woman.
I told you I had nothing.
Out! I am cheated!
Nay, Master Luca and Master Winwood, sir.
Why, nephew, is not yon thing the widow?
On my oath, she's a whore.
Luca and Woodgood, you're both villains. Get you out of my house.
Why did you invite me to thy wedding dinner then?
And are not you and I sworn perpetual friends before witness, sir, and were both drunk upon?
Daintily abused. A common strumpet.
Nay, now you're wrong, her, sir. If I were she, I'd have the law on you for that. She never was common.
Despise me, denounce me. I am your wife. What shame can I have now, but you'll have part? I sought not you. You pursued me. Nay, forced me.
Oh, brother!
Nor did I ever boast of lands, money, or goods. I took a plainer course and told you true, I'd nothing. If error were committed, 'twas by you. Thank your own folly. She that tastes not sin before. 20-1, but she'll taste it after. Most of you old men are content to marry young virgins and take that which follows. Whereas, marrying one of us, you both save a sinner and are saved from being a cuckold forever.
Cursed be all malice, black are the fruits of spite and poison past their owners. Oh, my friends, I must embrace shame to be rid of shame. Concealed disgrace prevents a public name. Oh, good, Theodorus!
I was happy to see her well bestowed, and where could I bestow her better than upon your worship? And now, by marrying your niece...
Marrying my niece?
Your blessing, Uncle.
Yes, by marrying your niece, I have banished myself forever from Mistress Medlar. She's my aunt now. And there's no meddling with my aunt, you know. A sin against my uncle.
Sir, the wedding dinner cools. Who seems most crafty, prove of times most fool.
Ha, ha, ha.
Been listening to A Trick to Catch the Old One by Thomas Middleton. Starring Alan Rickman as Witgood, Morris Denham as Pecunius Lucre, Dillis Lay as Flavia, Peter Baylis as Walcadine Horde, Timothy Bateson played Harry Dampit, David Garth, Onesiphorus Horde, Colin Starkey was Limber and Sir Lancelot, the host was William Edel, John Webb played Lamprey, Brian Smith, Spitchcock, and Mark Straker played Sam Freedom and George. Peter Aker was Moneylove and Young Gulf. Anne Jameson was Ginny. Melinda Walker played Joyce, and Tina Marion played Audrey. Trevor Nichols was the first creditor, Brian Sanders was the second creditor and notary, and Arnold Diamond was the third creditor and tavern keeper. The play was directed by Ian Cotterill, adapted by Peter Barnes, with music by Jeremy Barlow, played by the Broadside Band.